This is On the Outside Looking In, written by Benat, read by Mistborn Hero, a Hunter x Hunter podfic featuring the outsider point of view of Leoria's classmates on Leoria's life. It is tagged for Point of View Outsider. 1. Hello everyone, I'm Dr. Takamoto. Let's jump right into the icebreakers because they are awkward and everyone hates them. So let's just get them over with. The class ripples with laughter and John smiles to themselves. He had been nervous that all of their professors would be stuffy, stuck-up people. The medical program at this college was serious and rigorous, so he was glad this professor at least was somewhat kind. Let's just say our names, concentrations, and one interesting fact about ourselves, yes? I'm Ayako Takamoto, I have a doctorate in neuroscience, and my interesting fact is that I'm from the Republic of Padokia. The doctor then gestured towards the person at the end of June's row, and June quickly racks their brain for an interesting fact. Before long, it is their turn. Hi, I'm June. My concentration is psychology, and my fun fact is that I have 15 piercings. A few people mutter around him, as they have after pretty much everyone's fact, but that's about it. June pretty much checks out after that, turning in his seat more to watch his classmates than anything. You can usually tell a lot more about a person from their body language than what they say. His eye catches on a man who is 3 rows from the back, dressed in a suit and with light facial hair. He looks a decent bit older than most of the others in the class. He's next in line, so June tunes back into the discussion out of curiosity. The man clears his throat. I'm Leorio. My concentration is general practice, and my fact about me is that I am a pro hunter. June blinks. There isn't a twitch of hesitation in the man's face, and half the class is gawping at him. Dr. Takamoto clears his throat uncomfortably. Leorio, please take this discussion seriously. It may be just for fun, but the point is to tell something interesting about yourself to your classmates, so that we can get to know one another better. Leorio frowns. I have a hunter's license, Dr. Akamoto. I'm not... He cuts himself off, grumbling and fishing through his pockets. He tosses a phone on the desk, then a pocket knife, then a pair of brass knuckles that look worn for use, then a wallet, then... Aha! He pulls out a slim little card, the front of it emblazoned unmistakably with the logo for the Hunters Association. Now all of the class is copying at him. Is this enough proof, sir? He asks, smiling in a way that says it is. Of course, Leorio, The doctor pauses, gathering himself. If you'd go next, he asks, looking at the person sitting next to Leorio, who is staring at Leorio in vague fear. Well, this year just got interesting. John makes a mental note to talk to Leorio after class. Two. Leorio, it turns out, is a supremely fun person to be around. Their dorms are on the same floor, which is nice, and Leorio is always willing to study together. The material doesn't click for him the way it does June, But Liorio's persistence more than makes up for it. He works tirelessly, and Jun admires his seemingly never-ending well of energy. It is on one such study night that Liorio's phone goes off. This isn't an altogether unusual event, but usually when Liorio studies, it is with a single-minded seriousness, and he will ignore any and all outside distractions, up to and including eating. For how much the other teen, and hadn't that been a surprise, liked to bug Jun about his eating habits, the other man could go days without a real meal, without noticing. Today, though, the ringtone is different than his normal one, and Liorio has spent a great deal of time around Jun in the past month and a half that they have been in school, so Jun knows what his usual ringtone is. This song is peppy, bordering on annoying, and about a cat? Not Liorio's style at all. Despite that, he lights up at the sound, making grabby hands across the stack of textbooks scattered between them to where his phone is on his bed, behind Jun, out of Liorio's reach. "Answer it! Put it on the speaker! Hurry, hurry!" Liorio pounds, and Jun hurries to do so. Had Liorio been waiting on a call? He taps his fingers against the glass screen of Liorio's smartphone, slapping the call answer and speakerphone buttons with frantic fingers. He catches sight of the contact photo, a white kitten looking mischievous and holding a knife, and the name, Tiny Gremlin.
"Liorio!"
comes a voice, young but booming out of the phone. Jun tosses Liorio his phone, curiosity rising. Unexpectedly, Liorio doesn't take it off the speaker. "Gone!" Liorio booms back, and Jun winces at his volume. He doesn't think he'll ever get used to the strength of Liorio's lungs. "Why are you calling from Killua's phone? Is everything all right?"
"Everything is fine, old man. Stop worrying,"
grumbles another voice from the phone, this one just as young as the first. Liorio laughs at the insult, bright and happy. "What have you two little helions been up to? How did the game go?" "Game," Jun thinks. "Maybe they play some sort of sport? They could be siblings." Liorio doesn't talk about home much.
"We beat it,"
chimes the first kid, "gun." Liorio splatters in shock, and Jun can hear the snickering from the other side of the line.
"Isn't Greed Island supposed to be the hardest game ever? How did you two manage to beat it in only 6 months?
Liorio sounds incredulous, but Jun is less impressed. 6 months for a game isn't that impressive.
"Well, we trained with Bisky inside the game."
Liorio doesn't seem to know who Bisky is, based on the confusion in his face.
"And I met a lot of Jinx friends. They told me a lot of stories, and they helped me get stronger, and we saw Hisoka, and then my hand got blown off."
"Ah!" Liorio boomed, and Jun fell over with the force of it.
"You're gonna break my eardrums, you old fuck,"
yelled the other child on the line. "Watch your language around gun, Killua!" Liorio reprimanded instantly, reminding Jun of their own mother.
"I already know the word fuck, Liorio. It's okay,"
answered Gun, and Liorio choked on his spit before sobering up again.
"Wait, go back and explain about your arm, Gun, please,"
said Liorio, sounding strained. Jun sat back up, and Valerio shot him a stressed look. Again, it reminded Jun of his own mother.
He has all 10 fingers again, you worry wart. We'll tell you in person about the whole deal. But there was a rogue player inside of the game who was killing other players for their cards. We dealt with him and he'll gone up afterward. No worries.
Despite what Killua said, Liario did still, in fact, look worried. I know you two can handle yourselves, but I would still appreciate it if you didn't give me a heart attack with some crazy story every time you two called. Both of the kids laughed, happy and bright, and the stress melted off Liario's face, morphing into something much softer. So, what about the game gun? Was your dad there? Jun tamps down his confusion. It is probably rude to be listening in on this, but Liario did answer the phone on speaker, and he had given no indication that he wants Jun out of there.
No,
says Gunn, sighing.
It's hard to explain how, but I ended up finding his student instead. His name is Kite, and he's really cool. I met him before on Wayland when I was younger, and he hit me in the face.
Liario's brows furrow again, with an angry set to it. Gone? He says, lowly. This Kite guy... Liario doesn't seem to know where he's going with his sentence, but on the other side of the line, there is a crackle, some rustling, and a sharp yelp before Killua's voice comes through the phone.
He's fine, Liario. I wouldn't let anyone dangerous near Gunn. Not like that.
Killua's voice is low, probably to keep Gunn from hearing him, and with a deadly seriousness Jun has never before heard in a kid. Liario breathes out, the tension in his shoulders easing. Yeah, I know you want Killua, but I want you to stay safe too, okay? Liario's voice is soft, full of love and seriousness. He really cares about these kids.
You can just shut up!
Killua shouts, obviously flustered, and then there's a clatter and another squawk.
Don't throw my phone, Killua!
Shouts Gunn, and there is more rustling before Gunn comes back on the line.
We have to go soon, Liario. Kite is taking us with him to investigate something, so we may be spotty in contact for a while.
That's okay. Just call me when you can, and come visit soon.
We will.
Gunn agrees readily. There is something in the background that sounds suspiciously like a pouty kid saying,
No, we won't.
Before there is an that can only come from someone getting elbowed in the gut, and Killua saying reluctantly,
We'll call Gramps.
Liario smiles. You two stay safe, or I will call Aunt Mita and have her send me more pictures of the two of you in the tub. And remember the first aid I taught you, and make sure you drink plenty of water and...
We know, Liario.
Laughs Gunn.
We've made it this long on our own. I promise we'll be okay.
I know. Just let me worry, okay? Gunn laughs again, bright and cheery.
Okay, Liario. Good luck with your studies.
There is what could be called a grumble of agreement from Killua before the line goes dead. Liario sighs, rubbing a hand down his face and displacing his ever-present glasses. Brothers? Jun asks, unable to help himself. Liario shoots him a wry grin, still edged with worry. Something like that, he says somewhat cryptically. They sound like good kids, Jun offers, and the rest of the worry slides off Liario's face. Yeah, they are. 3. June slipped into his seat next to Miman, first class of the day on Monday, bright and early in the morning. June took another sip of his coffee, hoping to wash away some of the grogginess he still felt. Miman, I went out drinking with Leorio last night, he says, stilted. Miman shoots him a confused look. Okay, she says. Did he get arrested or something? No, nothing like that. It's only he told me these stories. Leorio's always telling stories. He never shuts up. This was about Jorgshin. Jorgshin? He's never talked about that before. June finally drags his eyes away from where they've been focused on the coffee cup on his hands. He looks up at Miman, and she finally seems to realize how serious this is. She leans in. After I left his place, I stayed up half the night watching news videos and reading articles, and everything he said checks out. He was talking about how his friends fought the Phantom Troop, and how Kurapika, you know, the one who he's always calling, fought them, and those two kids I told you about, Gon and Killua, were in the middle of it. I can tell you more later, but Miman, I'm pretty sure Leorio helped kill a guy. Miman leans back in her seat, slightly wide-eyed. I mean, he has a hunter license, so it's like illegal, right? June blinks at her. That's what you're worried about? Not the fact that Leorio could probably kill us in 2 minutes flat and that nobody would ever find our bodies? Is there a reason I'm killing you? Leorio asks, sliding into the seat next to Miman, nonchalantly, and scaring the daylights out of them both. I mean, I guess I could if you were both secretly criminal masterminds or something. You told me about Jorgshin last night. June finally blurts out, after a long moment of awkward silence. Miman elbows him in the ribs, and Leorio winces, rubbing at the back of his neck sheepishly. Yikes! Well, there's nothing much secret about it. It's just sort of unbelievable. Did you want to ask something? Did you really help your friend kill a member of the Phantom Troop? Miman blurts out, and now it is June's turn to elbow her in the ribs. Leorio chokes on a laugh. Not really. Kurapika didn't need help with that. I just helped him kidnap their leader. June and Miman gape at him. I feel like I shouldn't ask any more questions or you'll have to kill me. Leorio laughs again, and then the professor walks in the door. June notices that Leorio doesn't deny what Miman said. Four. The door to the classroom splinters to pieces, exploding inwards. The students in the classroom scream, ducking underneath desks and covering their heads. Out of the corner of his eye, June sees Leorio do the opposite, leaping up into a ready crouch on top of his desk.
We are here for revenge against the head of Nostrade.
The man who began to speak is knocked backwards with such a force that he blows over the two other men standing behind him. And it happens so quickly that June misses what threw him backwards in the first place. Leorio leaps from his desk, springing farther than June thought possible. He clears three rows of desks, landing feet first on top of the pile of three men, bending over without delay and taking the guns out of their slack grasps. He quickly and concisely removes the magazines from the guns and tosses them, one after another, into the corner.
Christ!
Leorio mutters,
fishing his phone out of his pockets. It's always Thursdays, isn't it? Five. John scrambles from his phone and then bounces his leg in anticipation as he waits for Mimon to answer. Hey, Yun. Turn on your TV right now. Yun, what? Now, Mimon, the news. Yun waits as patiently as he can while he hears Mimon wrestle around the other end of the line. Is that Liario? Isn't his friend sick? A president? I know! Yun screeches back. You missed it. They'll shout it again, I'm sure. Apparently, he punched one of the other nominees in the face because apparently his friend who is sick in the hospital is gone, and the other guy is his dad who isn't even visiting. I feel like Gunn's mom, and I've only talked to him on the phone, like, twice. What the fuck? I know, Yun says, not sure what else to say, and Yun and Mimon had been collecting Liaria's work for him over the past few days since he had to go see Gunn in the hospital. They hadn't heard much from him, which was to be expected, but the last thing Yun had expected when he turned on the TV that evening was to see Liario running for chairman of the Hunter Association, begging the crowd of hunters to help save his young friend. Still, John could not deny his relief several hours later when the live feed from inside the hunter selection shifted to the doors of the hall, bursting open to reveal Gunn surrounded by a group of people. He recognized the kid's spiky green hair from the picture Liario carried around in his wallet, and he had to say that outside of the hospital clothes, the kid didn't look at all that worse for wear. Yun breathed out a sigh of relief at the sight and switched off the TV. Plus one. Yun! Came Liaria's booming voice, and Yun turned around to see the other teen waving to him from the other side of the quad. He waved back and started in his direction. As he came closer, he saw three kids with Liario, two chasing each other in circles and the third talking animatedly to Liario. Yun! Liario said again as he finally got closer. The child-sized blurs had resolved themselves into what could only be Gunn and Killua, from how many times Yun had seen the photo on Liario's desk, and a third kid he didn't recognize. This is Gunn, Killua, and Aluka, Killua's sister. They are about to leave the area for a while to hike some mountains, or some crazy, and so they wanted to come visit before they left. Whatever was going on between Gunn and Killua seemed to have resolved itself. Gunn sitting on top of Killua, who was pouting and beaming up at Yun. Hi, Yun, Gunn chirped. Liario talks about you a lot. It's nice to meet you. Hi, Gunn. Liario talks about you a lot, too, Yun said, smiling back without really thinking about it. Killua finally shoved Gunn off his back, sending him rolling through the grass with a yelp. What lies have you been telling about us now, Dr. Olvi? Killua asked, shoving his hands into the pockets of his pants with a petulant scowl. I haven't ever said anything bad, even though there's plenty I could have said, brat. Liario sniped back without pause, and even Yun could tell that the insult was drenched in affection. I still think you should buy us ice cream in apology, Killua said, and smirked like a cat who got the canary when Aluka and Gunn immediately began to chant, ice cream, ice cream. Liario sighed, but the fondness still bled through onto his face.
He shot a look at June. "Coming?" he asked, and June shook his head. "Sorry, I've got a volunteer thing soon. You guys have fun."
"I'll try,"
Liario said, looking like a man to the gallows as the kids began to tug on his hand, Killua even springing up to hand over his shoulders like a monkey. As June watched Liario walk away with three kids swarming and chattering around him like a very small flock of birds, June felt like he understood Liario a little better. These kids obviously meant the world to him, and as June thought about it, he always was a little more lifelike talking to or about those kids. As they turned a corner out of sight, June shook his head, smiling fondly at the thought of his friend. Liario really wasn't as big of an enigma as one would think. The end. Thank you for listening. This has been recorded for ITPE 2023 as a gift, as a treat for Opalsong. It's not either Killua or gun-centric, but it is outsider point of view, which includes them. And I was looking for outsider point of view and found this one, and I really liked it. And didn't realize until like the middle of the recording that you hadn't actually asked for Liario-centric fic. So I hope it is fine. I mean, it is a treat, so... But anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed. And please remember to drink some water today.